E1. The structure of being and its universal laws. The structure of the Christian Science textbook, Our Way of Life. Number 1A.
Now, before I start into the subject itself, I would like to make some introductory remarks about this week's work. The first one is that I really want to continue just where we left last summer. That means, second, that I take it for granted that I can build on what we have been doing last summer. And third, that because I may not take it so granted as I said it, that I will recapitulate the main points of last year's work, perhaps tomorrow or even on Tuesday, just go over the whole ground again in a quicker way and recapitulate our findings of last year. Last year was a big turning point, as you know, in the whole study, and demanded quite a bit. So when I was in Asilomar for the seminar and in Pasadena the other weeks, the students there just began to get hold, really, of the whole presentation of what we call the chart. And they felt now after 2 years work, they just are at that point where the whole teaching becomes to them natural, their own self, so to say, and they voiced the very strong desire that I should tape the seminar here in New York so that they would be able to fall back again on what we were doing and have an opportunity to check on their notes, to review again what we were doing in Asilomar and in Pasadena. And this brings me to a different style of seminar work here than what we did last year. You remember last year we were sitting around in a circle and gave everyone a lot of opportunities to take part in the discussion. And we know that it was not always easy going because the new subject demanded quite a bit of fundamental understanding of the subject. And so this week I would like to have some kind of mixture between presenting the subject in a lecture-wise way and seminar type. That means that I will present the subject, especially today, more in the way of presenting the subject right away and then later on work with the class a bit more. But at every point of the seminar, you must feel completely free to interrupt me and to ask pertinent questions on the subject, so that we have an opportunity to clarify those things which seem not so clear, perhaps at the outset. In this way, I would like to achieve that we could really cover the whole ground of what is involved in the four levels of spiritual consciousness, so that with the work that you will be able to do during the next year on the ground of this seminar would really root you deeply in the subject, so that perhaps next year I may be able to go right on and take especially what I think the subject of the matrix of immortality and show you the high value of considering the synonymous terms in a matrix form, to show you how the textbook is laid out in a matrix form, to show how the prophets, the epistles, and many other things are better understood through that wonderful method of a matrix. So that would cover certainly 1 or 2 weeks' work next year, and so I will not this year try to bring up the subject of matrix, which I have promised already now since 2 years, I think, and even have asked you to bring with you the structure of the Christian Science textbook and the book on the minor prophets and so on, because I was hoping that I could touch on that, but I could see in those last 2 seminars on the West Coast that it would demand much, much too much work. And so it is better we stay with one subject and get that really settled properly and get a good grasp of it. By taping this seminar here, I would like you to feel just the same, very free to speak up whenever you like, and not to think that because it is taped, your answers and your questions go right over the whole world. I will restrict these tapes to those who have been attending the seminars on the West Coast and here, perhaps with just 2 or 3 exemptions, namely those who would have liked to be here, but for good reason couldn't be here. But I want you to feel very at ease and not feel that now your contribution is being heard all over the world, and everybody perhaps says, how could this and that woman ask such a question, huh? Yes. So this is what I wanted to say just right at the beginning, and now we can go into the subject. When we are interested in the science of being, therefore in that big subject that is fundamental to every one of us, because it has to do with being itself, I think one cannot repeat too often the great fact that all is consciousness. I think this is the primordial fact about every teaching, that we know that all is consciousness. And second, that consciousness determines our experience. This is just a fundamental fact that is known to everyone in Christian Science, that is known not only to Christian scientists, that is known, so to say, to every group of mental sect and mental groups and whatever it is, that today the world has switched slowly away from a purely materialistic view and has begun to see that behind the materialistic view is just subjective thinking, and that really the mental world is more important than the material world, that the mental world determines the material world. Therefore, that consciousness determines what we experience, each one of us. Now, if we have grasped that and stick to that, then naturally the great question arises is, now, what sort of consciousness should we have in order to have a progressive experience? If consciousness is at the base of outward experience, then naturally we ask ourselves, what kind of consciousness should we have in order to experience a happy life, a progressive life, a worthwhile life, a purposeful life? I think with this I have touched the great ontological question of everybody in the world, the ontological question that has over thousands and thousands of years ruled every religion, every philosophy, namely, how can we attain a purposeful life? Now, when we see that what we experience in life is a state of consciousness, naturally, then we have to ask, what kind of consciousness is needed in order to have such a progressive, positive, harmonious, purposeful experience? And there we see that consciousness can have various degrees. Namely, that consciousness can be based on the purely material level, the materialistic point of view, materialistic didactics and dialectics. That if we have a material point of view of life, we naturally will have also a material world and an experience of a material world, with all what the material world implies. It's as simple as that. On the other hand, we can see that if our point of view really is a bit higher, and we begin to search for something higher, as religion has done, as ethics and morals has done, we begin to see that our consciousness can also be orientated according to religious values, ethical values, moral values, and that therefore we can experience that kind of life. And the Bible shows only too well, right from the beginning, right from the Abel state of consciousness, that the religious and ethical and moral state of consciousness is not helping us very much. That the material, egotistic state of consciousness of a Cain is just destroying that higher sense, the moral sense, like Abel has presented. So that finally we come to the great question, is there a state of consciousness which is high enough and secure enough to be unchallenged by the material consciousness, by the moral consciousness, which can stand really the attacks of both? And higher religions, especially as in Christian Science, try to show that we must have a spiritual basis for consciousness, and that only the spiritual is real, and that therefore only a spiritual consciousness can really give us any security and give us a life experience that is purposeful, that is progressive, that is positive, that is harmonious, that is indestructible. So this is the teaching of Christian Science as one knows it right from the beginning when one enters into the Christian Science field, that there are 3 degrees. The first degree of the material consciousness of depravity, a second degree of moral qualities, a third degree of spiritual values, that only a consciousness that is filled with the third degree of spiritual values is a consciousness that is able to touch reality per se. And so the whole teaching, therefore, must be geared, so to say, to the question, what is a spiritual consciousness? And actually, if we have a spiritual state of consciousness, we certainly will reap a spiritual experience that is substantial, that is purposeful, that is divine. At this point comes in the crucial question. Once we have seen that the spiritual is the important, we ask another question. What is a spiritual consciousness? And here we set in, and I think this is the point where my teaching and the teaching of my friends have their place. That we were not satisfied just by saying, all right, we must have a spiritual consciousness, because only that will guarantee us a harmonious life, guarantee that we can master the challenge of the world. But here we ask the great question, what is spiritual consciousness? So, in asking this question, what is a spiritual consciousness? We have seen that there are various models of spiritual consciousness. And so I refer back to what we have been considering in 1970 when we had the summer school at Ogunquit, and where we could see that spiritual consciousness over the last 40 years was developing in a natural, ordered way from what we called the atomistic sense of a spiritual consciousness. Namely, that sense where we felt that we can fill consciousness with ideas of God, with all those many, many ideas which we would find in the textbook by analyzing the seven synonymous terms for God and asking ourselves, what are the characteristics, what are the ideas characterizing each synonymous term? This is really the first step we were making some 30, 40 years ago when we began to see that spiritual consciousness constitutes of ideas that have definite identity, and that the study of the seven synonymous terms would give us the nature of these ideas. But these ideas were, so to say, isolated truths, isolated facts of being, and the contemplation of such isolated facts or ideas we called an atomistic sense of spiritual consciousness. Then you remember how we began to see in the late 30s that these ideas had order, and that we could find definite order which were fundamental to being, like the 7 days of creation, which showed a irrevocable, irresistible order of ideas running right through from mind to love, through the seven synonymous terms. So that we felt here we have already a higher sense of spiritual consciousness, and we termed it the linear spiritual consciousness, because there we would find an ordered sense of ideas, a sequential sense of ideas, which would show the law of creativity, which would show how from the inception of an idea through the seven stages of consciousness, an idea would in an ordered way unfold to the point of fulfillment in the seventh day at the point of love. Then you remember that at that stage we began to see that each idea, when seen in its timeless and spaceless sense, were actually reflecting each other infinitely. And that brought us to the sense that each idea reflects each other idea, therefore that each idea functions at the same time, at the same place with each other idea. And so we called this reflection of ideas, that blending of ideas with each other ideas, we called it the functional spiritual consciousness. So from the ordered we came to the functional sense, where we could see that each idea functions with each other idea, so that they are not isolated but infinitely reflected or related. Then, soon afterwards, we began to see, in the middle of the 40th, that these ideas of the seven synonymous terms have a operational sense, definite, fundamental, operational sense. And we called it the operational spiritual consciousness. With that was meant that Mrs. Eddy did not only give us the seven synonymous terms as fundamental elements of being, but that in the apocalypse she would give us the four sides of the holy city as Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, as indicating the operational sense of the seven synonymous terms. So that those seven synonymous terms can fundamentally operate first as the Word, second as the Christ, therefore we would have the Christ order, third as Christianity, and fourth as Science. So that according to those four operations, just as in mathematics, you would have addition or subtraction, multiplication, division, but still using the same numbers, in that way, in spiritual science, you have the same identities of being, the numerals of infinity or the ideas, but operating according to the purpose, either as the Word, namely when the statement of the nature of being is under consideration, and you have the Word order, like the definition of God, functioning completely different when the translation sense of being is under consideration, how being translates itself to the point of idea, a completely different question. Then we have the Christ order as given in Science and Health on page 115, where she does not give a definition of God, but where she gives the scientific translation of God to the point of idea. And then, you know, in the glossary, she gives those seven synonymous terms in another order, namely in the Christianity order, again showing a complete different proposition, the proposition of showing how the realm of ideas is supreme over the realm of beliefs. And finally, through that old symbol of the candlestick, we have those seven synonymous terms operating as being or as science, showing the isness of being and bringing process to the point of isness. Now, all this is very well known to you all. I just recapitulate it to warm up the thought, to show that as at that point, towards the end of the 40s, we began therefore to see the operational sense of the seven synonymous terms. And then, I think, came the great break. That break, which is really indicative of our present study, namely that then we began to see that there is also a structural sense of spiritual consciousness, namely that we began to see that structure within the synonymous terms was of greatest import. So that we would be led away from the atomistic development of the spiritual consciousness to the structural sense of consciousness. That we began to see also, and then came a further unfoldment, that these seven synonymous terms operate on different levels of science. Namely on the level of Christian science, then operating on the level of absolute Christian science, then on the level of divine science, and finally on the level of science itself. That's a whole field which you were studying mainly here and on the East Coast in the group work during the last year. So that you are familiar with that sense.